This is a behind-the-scenes look at Light My Fire, the third Ashlyn Gray Guardian novel, which was published November 2006. As I mentioned in the last behind-the-scenes podcast, spoilers galore will abound, so if you haven't read Light My Fire and do not wish to have the plot spoiled for you, you'd better give this podcast a miss. Light My Fire was an absolute joy to write. When I think of the first four Ashlyn books, I think of You Slay Me as the starter book, Fire Me Up as the Things Get Hairy book, and Light My Fire as the Dump Everything Humanly Possible on Ashlyn book. This is the book where I feel Ashlyn really begins to grow emotionally and professionally. The first order of business was to push Ashlyn to the point where she realized that she couldn't continue to deny the fact that she and Drake were meant to be together. But Ashlyn is no pushover, not even for me, so it took some doing to bring her around to see the light as far as Drake was concerned. Drake was even more fun to write in this book than the previous two because he was now in a place where he realized that he couldn't go on without Ashlyn, which meant he'd have to learn how to compromise. It was very difficult for him to do that, and I left most of his struggles offstage to save the reader's sanity. But there was enough residual resistance left for Ashlyn to overcome, which, in turn, allowed her to stop focusing on herself and began to think of her and Drake as a couple. Someone commented to me that this book was more action-packed than the previous two, and I have to admit that this is very true, although I did not set about making it that way on purpose. But somehow, things just kept escalating. After I pushed Ashlyn to the point where she was willing to work with Drake, the intricate nature of dragon politics got some attention. I'd been building towards an all-out war between the red and green dragons since the very first book, and finally got to see that realized. Just how that was going to manifest, I wasn't quite sure until I found myself writing a scene where Ashlyn was skewered with a sword. That quickly set the tone for the rest of the attacks, which angered rather than frightened Ashlyn. One of the scenes I received comments about was the one with Xun Ren, where Ashlyn walks in on Xun Ren and Drake lip-locked. People asked why Ashlyn wasn't more upset about that, and the answer is she was upset for about 30 seconds. Then sanity prevailed, and she had to admit that Drake wouldn't two-time her like that, and she focused her anger where it should have been all along. Some people have also commented about Xun Ren's apparently cold nature. I don't necessarily think of her as a cold, heartless bitch. If you take a look at the Dragon Handbook on dragonseps.com, you'll see that she's actually the oldest of all the wyverns, and one who has been responsible for her sept since she was relatively young. One of the things I hope to explore in future books is more about her history and the sorts of things she's had to do to keep her sept healthy and happy. But for now, well, Ashlyn's opinion of her isn't too horribly high, and I'm afraid Xun Ren will just have to suffer with that. I hadn't originally intended for Ashlyn to become a Prince of Abaddon, since I had a hard time resolving her genuinely good nature with a position that was pretty much represented the pinnacle of evil. But I felt she had been taking her guardianhood a bit for granted. I was conflicted with the need to allow her to use her powers and ability, while at the same time keeping her from becoming an all-powerful creature whom no one could stop. I decided she needed to understand just how easy it would be for her to lose some of her abilities. Thus, the dark power was born, and once I knew it was going to offer her the temptation of an easy way out, so to speak, it became obvious that she had to become a prince. Baal was also a bit of a surprise in that I hadn't seen him as having such a devious role in Ashlyn's life, but it made sense that he would be desperate to use any tactic to hang on to a job he enjoyed. He was the basic tool I used to knock a bit of Ashlyn's cockiness off, in fact. The scene where Baal forces her into princedom is one of the few instances where Ashlyn was quite honestly a hair's breadth away from being utterly destroyed, and I think it taught her a much-needed lesson. Jim and Renee's origins were something that had cropped up repeatedly in emails, and I figured I'd better deal with both of those issues and Light My Fire. Rene was easy. I'd known since Fire Me Up who and what he was. Jim was a bit more difficult in that I couldn't quite decide how I was going to explain a demon who wasn't very demonic. In the end, I settled on him being a bit of a practical joker, someone whose sense of humor was going to get him in trouble. Thus it was that he was kicked out of the Court of Divine Blood, which actually didn't have a name when I wrote Light My Fire, and into the control of a demon lord, who also ended up kicking him out. The idea of Jim as a minor heavenly being still gives me the giggles. I'd long promised readers that one of Drake's family members were going to make an appearance in this book, and I actually brought in two. Dimitri, Drake's green dragon cousin, and his mother Catalina. Dimitri was pretty easy to write for. I knew he had jealousy issues which were going to come to the forefront when Aisling was presented to the Sept. But Drake's mother, well, that was a different story. What sort of a woman could give birth to someone like Drake? Thought about it for a bit and decided that he had to have come by all that arrogance somehow, and lo, Catalina the prima donna was born. It was a bit of a surprise to find out she actually killed Drake's father, but it fit perfectly into her personality. I think the most email I've ever had on all the dragon books has come over the mention I made of a fifth dragon sept, the Black Dragons. Since this podcast is already running long, I'm going to leave a discussion about the Black Dragons for a separate recording. Unlike Aisling, I have always enjoyed seeing shades of gray where others see black and white. This was one of the reasons why Gabriel did some things in this book that may have shaken some fans' belief in him. It was intended to remind Aisling and readers that everyone is not necessarily what they appear to be. I was interested to see that many readers remained faithful to their belief in Gabriel, stating that they believed he was being duped or otherwise coerced into acting in a manner that seemed to be at odds with Aisling and Drake. I've always been a fan of bad boys, so it was pretty much a given that at some point Gabriel would have to reveal a darker facet of his personality. A last bit of trivia about Light My Fire. When I started writing the book, I never intended the issue of a possible pregnancy to become a big deal. But as the plot progressed, it became apparent that this wasn't going to be a situation which would be resolved a few chapters in, as I had originally intended. Instead, I realized that it would be an excellent thing for Aisling not to know if she was pregnant or not. A resolution one way or another might change her blossoming relationship with Drake, but by keeping it unknown, it allowed her time to come to a decision about Drake that wasn't driven by anything other than her feelings for him. And for those listeners who are dying to know if she is preggers or not, situation is resolved in Holy Smokes. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this behind-the-scenes podcast about Light My Fire. If you'd like more information about the Aisling books, the dragons, or the other world, pop over to dragonseps.com. Feel free to drop me a line if you have questions at katie@katiemcallister.com.